I'm Gabby Hall, and today I will be interviewing Tia Dubuisson as part of my series on women in STEM. Tia, thank you for joining me.
One of your focuses is turning big data into business intelligence. Could you talk a little bit about what that really means?
Yeah, so that's a great question. So I think what we've found with companies is that they are collecting data, whether it's on spreadsheets, locally on computers, within, you know, their employees' computers, you name it, there's stuff in databases throughout the company that are maybe owned by different business units that are not speaking to one another. Not for anything negative, it's just the marketing department doesn't necessarily, you know, talk to the HR department and vice versa, but they all have data that's siloed across that organization. And that siloed data is great, but what if we were able to make a single source of truth? And what if, just what if the data that the marketing and salespeople have could actually be married with the customer experience data in the company, and we can actually be proactive with maybe some items with customers that would help, you know, to actually give more promoters to the brand. What do I mean by that? Let's just say that there's somehow an outage. You're an energy company and there's an outage somewhere, or for whatever reason, there's a shortage in tech support maybe that you only know internally. You know that you're hiring, but the outside world doesn't know that you have a deficit in your tech support department. Well, what if customers you're starting to see crop up, and what if you're able to comb through that data and actually have it across customer experience, the sales and marketing team, where they have visibility into, we're getting a lot of complaints from an area where we don't have tech support right now. Right now we're hiring for that position or those set of positions. What if we could, you know, ward that off by being able to send a very positive message to those customers that have decided they're going to stop paying their bill because they're not getting the support that they need? Instead of sending them a threatening letter, you know, pay your bill, what if we say, oh, wow, this is probably why they're not paying, and let's just try to be proactive and let them know that we're sympathetic, and how can we, you know, how can we better serve them now that we're, you know, and just be transparent with them. You may find that the customer may like you reaching out in a more positive way. They may like it that you actually are talking to one another to actually incubate them from a marketing, sales, you know, and just customer experience all the way around. So you can kind of get more of a 360 view when you bring those silos of data together and then you start to share them across the organization, where you're telling a narrative more so. Instead of just throwing out data points, you're actually then putting the people first, your external customers first. When you actually gain actionable insights out of that data to be proactive, I think it just, you know, it raises your brand just to the next level. So you'll see a lot of customers now are actually trying to do that instead of having what they call dark data that's in the company, but no one's using it. Now you have companies that are hiring us to actually help them to make this single source of truth and helping them to consume that source of data truth, if you will, that big data across their data pipeline, to actually then utilize it to build new revenue streams or to build just better customer experiences.
So what do you see as the future of big data?
Wow, the future of big data, that's a big question. I think there's still a lot of digital products that have still been yet to discover, to be discovered. I think you'll see across transportation, and we're already seeing, you know, some of that. If you go to a tech conference where they're talking about, you know, autonomous driving and some of these other items, that's big data at its finest. So you're learning, the computer's learning how to drive. That's a lot of data points that you have to take in to be able to then teach that computer to not only drive, but to learn from its mistakes, right? So I think you're going to see a lot more self-service items out of some of these digital products, as they're able to utilize the big data that they have and processing it across, you know, these different, using these, you know, supercomputers and just, you know, these other server farms, right, that are the cloud computing companies are actually then allowing them to take advantage of to process this data. And from those insights, they're going to be teaching the machines to do a lot of things that you're going to see as self-service items. I think you'll see a lot more jobs that are going to open up in different ways. So people are going to have to be reskilled as well, So that's something that I'm really passionate about and super excited that Bell Flare is on the front end of helping to reskill and retrain talent so they don't fall in this gap, right? And be a part of the process.
Yeah, so looking forward, what kind of careers do you see opening up? Like, how do you see the industry shifting? And what kind of jobs should people who are, you know, young now be looking to for the future and, you know, trying to prepare for now?
Right. So I think you'll see a lot of jobs that are manual, right? Where you're working with your hands somehow. Those will be automated. So you'll want to reskill yourself to either be the one to program those computers to actually do that. So I think you'll see a lot of jobs around data analysts, data scientists, you know, a lot of computer science kind of background jobs. But you'll still need people that have the subject matter expertise across accounting, across marketing. But I would definitely say you need to pair it with some form of cloud computing or computer science in some way, shape, or form, because no industry is untouched. And I think when you can, you know, start to learn where technology is intersecting with your sector, you will then be able to be one of the first movers in that, you know, as they're calling it, the fourth industrial revolution or whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. Those will be the jobs of tomorrow. So you'll still have the same industries. You'll still have the same internal business units, but they're just going to intersect with technology, and you're going to have to be comfortable with those self, you know, serve kind of digital products in that manner and reskill yourself to be able to still work in your field, but you're just going to be working from a technological kind of aspect.
What do you feel is the role of big data in affecting and enhancing our communities?
I think there's a lot to it, right? Big data is a big subject to tackle. I think as a society, we're going to have to make sure that we have diversity of thought when we approach some of these self-service products, because whoever programs the computer is basically going to program everything that they know, including biases there as well. So we want to make sure as much as possible that we're going to be responsible when we do that. And we make sure that we invite everyone to the table to have an opportunity to give input and a diversity of thought, right? As we're building out, you know, these machine learning algorithms or these self-serve products. I think that that's probably the biggest thing that we probably need to be focused on. And I think we need to do a much better job of making sure that that actually happens. I see a lot of diversity, inclusion, and equity talks. I do see the industry slowly moving towards actioning on this messaging beyond having, you know, nice round table discussions or wonderful, you know, speakers come in, and that's great. But at the same time, we need to be, I think, just as equally concerned with actually putting, you know, reskilling or whatever it takes to put people into those positions to actually action on those, you know, very motivating speaking points. I think that, to me, in a nutshell, that's going to be huge. I think we'll have to take a look at, I mean, transportation. When you talk about transportation, how is that going to change? I mean, when you look at society, getting from point A to point B is a huge thing. And we go from point A to point B for many different things and many different reasons. And I think you're going to see a lot of sectors that are impacted. If you look at transportation, we're looking at a lot of electrification. How is that impacting then, you know, gasoline and, you know, fossil fuels and like the energy sector? That's going to be huge transformation. So looking at those jobs, reskilling yourself to even take those jobs on that are around different forms of energy, right? Solar, electric, and so forth. So I think there's going to be a huge ripple effect that will definitely need to follow. And I think it'll be beyond, you know, being a programmer and what does tech mean for my job, but actually looking at those, you know, kind of, I don't want to call it like a byproduct or a side effect, but there's going to be a ton of industries that are going to be impacted, and you'll need to be reskilled to be able to then service in those areas, right? Instead of pumping gas, it'll be electric and some of those other things, wind energy and solar, and just the different things that can be powered by that, and how will they be powered and how will they need to be maintained? You'll probably need to be skilled to do that as well.
What does community mean to you, and how do you feel that community has impacted your career?
Wow, community to me, I think, is made up of many different players, but definitely you want to have your promoters in there. But dare I say, you also want to have your detractors in there. I think they kind of help to add a little, you know, there's sometimes a little air of truth, just a little, where you can say, hey, they kind of help you to not look at life with rose-colored glasses. You can really take a look at yourself and say, that, you know, are there some things that I could change about myself? So I think they do raise a red flag on the play, so that way you can actually focus on some of those items and be self-reflective. But not critical of yourself, right? Some people are just there, but there are, you know, there are some detractors. You got to have them. They do help to push you sometimes, to motivate you, so you don't, you know, just go into autopilot and become a stalemate. You actually, start to challenge you in different ways, I'd have to say. But I think the community definitely has to say, you have to have tons of promoters. I would say tons of mentors, advisors. There's no one person that's going to be a mentor for your whole life. So I think you need to look at the different portions of your life and find a really solid mentor that can be there for you. Likewise, you're there for them, right? Because it's a benefit when you're able to mentor someone and they actually can apply what you're giving as wisdom. That's a benefit back to that mentor as well as it is for the mentee that's actually able to take that wisdom and run with it and grow. You know, so that's community. It's all of us working together to be our better selves. It's a community allows you to be your human self, whatever that looks like, as you're going from good to great. So you have a safe place to grow as well, too.
Great. Thank you so much for everything. This was really, really insightful, very informative.
Thank you, Gabby.